Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jeff Tidwell from Chirp Interactive. And you are here for... Thank you. Thank you. We're here for the 2008 second annual Battle Decks. And I'll be your host this afternoon, just like it says right there. The way this works is our competitors will have 5 minutes to present on a topic. The order of the topics has been randomly selected in advance. The slides are random. Three judges will score the competitors from 0 to 10 in flow, gesture, jargon, credibility, and getting through all the slides. The top two scores will compete in a final and fierce battle.
Jargon.
Let me introduce our judges. First, hailing from San Francisco, the chief strategist of Mule Design, Erica Hall. Erica? Next, Ryan Freitas, professional cook, leader of Adaptive Paths, layabout scoundrel, and card shark, Jonathan Grubb. Jonathan is hosting an all-night karaoke, ubiquitous, location-specific lounge in a 30-foot RV all over this week's South by Southwest. You can find him anywhere. He's dated the most women in the audience, and he, believe it or not, he's chosen L.A. over San Francisco. Go figure. Okay. Next up, our contestants. George Kelly, please stand. Yay. George is our returning champion. He's an East Bay journalist, flips off Hummers, and is all about George, okay? Next up, John Armstrong. Hey, John has three children, Lita, Chuck, and Coco, not with us today. Wife is a famous blogger. He's a photographer and a Utah-based former Mormon. Thank you very much. Thank you, John. Next up, Molly. Molly Steenson, the effervescent, the ever-kissing, the Mies van der Rohe of interaction, the holly-go-lightly of architecture. You can find her at activesocialplastic.com and all over this conference this week. You can be sure of that. Next up, well, you said, right? Okay, sure. Next up, a late and great contestant who's just joined us in the final hours directly out of jail, John Poussin. Thank you, John, for joining us in the last final moments here. Next, Rob Weikert. Rob runs a wife-style blog. He knows how to throw a party, and... he's an East Coaster, okay? More from the East Coast. Mike Essel, please stand. Mike, thank you. From Philly to New York City, he teaches at Cooper Union, and he has the hottest Mr. T tattoos you've ever gotten to see. We'll see those later on, right, Mike? Thanks.
Okay.
Sarah Solovitz, thank you very much. Please stand. Sarah, online video producer, alive in Baghdad. It's going to be rough, Sarah. I hope you're ready.
Watch out. Okay, then.
Finally, most known for being an LOL cats enthusiast, a famous blogger. In fact, he invented blogging. Anil Dash, please stand. He knows Prince and Snoop Dogg personally, hates bottled water, and is a first-time contestant. You'll be going last.
All right, who's up first here?
George Kelly, please join us. You ready for this, George?
Ready.
Five minutes, George.
There have been tremendous advances in shoe technology. Since the dawn of time, shoes have taken men, women, and children everywhere. They are original location-based platforms. It's important to know when you're traveling and keeping track of your travels through live clogging, not just about the people you're going to meet, the locations you're going to capture and record, but the beverages. And some of those beverages are going to be single malt, and some are going to be chocolate malt. When you're live clogging, it's important to know about your religious and cultural authorities. It's important to familiarize yourself with various slogans they may utter. And you must, you know, take them as they come. You can't hold their Nazi past against them. Any good live clogging app is going to be able to handle and categorize famous faces on a four-point continuum here. And as you see, you know, the important variables are urgency, level of embarrassment, importance, and contagiosity. Yes. Seriously. This is part of the travel export. As long as you're using the location-based platform and the clogs, you're going to be eating, and it's important to get your minimum daily requirement of sugar, frosting, and wrappers. I mentioned about the dawn of time, you know. We're going to be working with historical figures, not just latter-day greats like Catherine the Great, but Amy Winehouse the Great. And it's important that you allow for other fauna as well, not simply horses, but pandas. As you see, fauna like pandas are not inimical to value. There is an overlap. And you know, you don't need a Venn diagram to tell you that. You don't need Jeffrey Veen to tell you that. As you all can tell by now, that's a lot of wood.
You've got 1 minute, George.
When you're live clogging, it's important to work with the best quality wood that you can. And you've got to, you know, establish certain metrics. And clearly, you know, the difference between enthusiasm and some other kind of wood is essential. We have various projections going forward that you can work from. And the Gyllenhaal Anastasakis principle through interpretive dance. And I hope that, as I demonstrated through interpretive dance, you will keep in mind the importance of live clogging as a as an endeavor. In conclusion. Oh, wait. One more thing. That one more thing has to do with live clogging. And it's about the urgency that comes when you're live clogging. It's the reminder to be in the moment. Thank you.
Thank you very much, George. That was very inspired. Next up, John.
Wait, do we have to judge?
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, God. Judging, it's the first time I've done this. Okay. What? Oh, Eric is already done or no?
Yeah. No, as a woman in technology, I've been under-resourced, and I do not have my own pen.
Okay. Can we get this woman a pen up here?
Well, it's a...
There we go.
No bribing the judges. George, I have to consider his score very carefully because he is the only one who's done this before. So he's highly experienced. I'm sorry. Well, George is a man. He's a man in technology. And so, of course, and I also, his use of the word platform is very good. The fact that he stood in front of a slide that said pandas, I also have to rate him very highly on that. The interpretive dance could have used a tad more verve, although at no point did I doubt George's commitment or credibility. And so I will give him an 8 so as not to terrify the remaining competitors.
We've got an 8 from Erica Hall. Thank you, Erica.
I will also go for an 8 based on the use of being in a sentence as well as inimicable. The gestural component of the dance, as Erica said, could have used a little work. But otherwise, very impressive. And the narrative flow was something to keep in mind.
Thank you so much, 2-8.
I'm giving a 7. Up from a 6 because of the Jeff Veen as jargon. I think that if you can find a person whose name alone counts as jargon. With all love to Jeff. So 7 with some credibility and some for finishing. Flow and gesture, I felt like... could have moved around. I wanted to see more of this.
Sure.
Back to you.
Great. Thank you so much. What's that tally up to? Anybody into math here? 8 and 7?
23.
Thanks so much.
Anybody here into math?
No math.
Anybody at all. Okay, next up, John Armstrong. Let's give him a big hand, everybody.
Thank you. As Vice President of Celebrity Hot Pants Incorporated, I really feel qualified to speak to our topic today. And the answer obviously is yes here. We've done a lot of user testing, focus groups, and our ROI forecast looks spectacular. But we'll get into that in some later slides, we hope. So here we can see another reference to Winehouse. And I think that there's really two questions, obviously. The second question is, must I feed it? Yes. But the first question is, how huge is it? And I think if we look into the storage realm, we can sort of come into a loose matrix of size. Somewhere in the peta or post-exa prefix zone. I think that just segues nicely into... Yeah, so as you can see, we're in the blue with what we're working on at Celebrity Hot Pants Incorporated. We really focus a lot of our efforts in the blue circle. And you can note that the forecast for the next six quarters look spectacular. We're on target for our IPO in Q4 2010. Our user base is growing. I think we're in the 4 million range as of last month. The 21% we're still working on. Obviously, Glenn's group is doing a killer job. Can't say enough about the work that Glenn's done. His technical crew is really, they recruited offshore via kind of a Swiss Cayman financier who's enabled a lot of talent to come in through Bangalore and some other undisclosed locations. My Bluetooth headset that you can't see, I'm getting some information that I can't really say much more about that part of it. And we're really, yeah, this is an area we're not too strong in yet. Our male portion of Celebrity Hot Pants has been lacking, so we're gonna dive in there. We've got an LA office we're gonna open up next quarter, provided we can find a few people who can actually, as a man, get their body into that position that would need to be for that to happen. And, right, so we've tried to really, I mean, obviously, there's a box, and then there's, you know, out of the box. And I'm going to need a little more cord here. We're trying to work in the black area. And I think that's really clear. I don't think I need to go a little, you know, too much further there. That's pretty obvious to everybody. We're all very smart people. Yeah, so we're trying to grow organically. We're trying to, you know, really grab a hold of the crowd and find those users who can help us grow sort of on a grassroots, organic level, so we can avoid. Yeah. And then there's our personalized email system, which really was kind of went off track in 2006. We're just now going to loop that back in. We've had an influx from Steve's people in accounting. They've really wanted us to sort of move this way. So it's pretty clear where we are, that the gesturing got us there. But, you know, UbiComp, they're an up-and-comer, and we really, you know, we're going to have to bring that up at least 8%. With the gestures. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm surprised that this slide actually got in at a technology conference, but I don't have to talk to my people, because we're really trying to move away from, you know, just focusing on the boobs at Celebrity Hot Pants. We're trying to broaden our horizon and really open our perspective. That's really kind of the 1,000-foot view. But I'm going to just dive in for a second and say, you know, that we're still trying to balance it out gender-wise. So, you know, both male and female. So in conclusion, I'm hoping that today we've learned a lot. And I really hope that as we go forward, we can increase and demarginalize, monetize our crowd and our audience, and improve our page views. So I think I don't see another slide up. I believe that's it. There's no one more thing. There's no hot pants air today. Sorry.
Very inspired, very inspired. Let's go to our judges. Okay, Erica, what have you got to say?
I really have to commend John on his credibility. I believe a company much like that debuted at TechCrunch 40. Also, his use of jargon, though dated, was quite fluent. I have to say, lots of gesturing, great use of space. So I'm going to give him an 8.5.
8.5 for America. Ryan?
I was a little, there was a little bit too much jargon. It interrupted the flow at times, so I'm not giving it as good. But for the phrase, dive in while a reference to boobs were on the slide, I'm going to give it a 7.
7.
I thought this gesturing was incredible. He ran out of chord because he was gesturing so much. And he worked in a gesture to the word gesture. And he worked in the gender balance angle as well, so I'm going to give it an 8.
8. 23.5.
Oh, slight advantage.
Great. Next up, Molly, everybody. This doesn't feel competitive enough, and I think the moment's come where it might just get so. Molly?
Hell yeah.
Gender balance yourself.
We've reached a new age in the gestural interface. It's a question of what kinds of gestures we're going to be making, what types of interfaces, human, belly, otherwise, lips, tongues, gestures, gestural interfaces. This is what we are looking at today, architecturally, balls and without balls. In this home, we have a mortgage crunch going on in the country, and it's very bad, and everything is connected to it, and we see... We have the crossover of these gestural interfaces, some of which happen at places like South by Southwest, between Cleared and Prager's, and whatever is in the middle, I sure as hell don't know. But I will tell you that strength comes through the beautiful linkages of our connections. Again, bringing it back to the gestures, back to those interfaces, those beautiful sausage-linked interfaces. It's a beautiful and possibly tasty thing as well. This is where we make our strength in the gestures. And I think we do all have to ask just what is the nature of our relationship with Brittany? I don't know what her relationship is with the Cleared Preggers or the sausages or the gestures, but perhaps you'd like to know the nature of my relationship. I'm sorry, that's No. That's classified information. So the question is, what kind of gestural interfaces do we want here? Is it big? Is it small? SML, XL? Fuck yeah! It scales. Oh yeah, it scales. So, they tried to make me go to rehab. I said, fucking louder. What is it that she has consumed? What are the interfaces? We see Brad here. Oh my God, I'd like to take a question. It's time for a question, somebody. Self-funded, yes, and it deals with sausages and unknown substances, the unknown of the unknown, and we like to touch them, and I'm tangling up in these gestures here. So yes, and it's in sausage. It's disgusting, actually. You really don't want to see how sausage is made. You don't want to see how gestural interfaces are made. That's all I'm saying. I think we should talk for a second here about satisfaction, and that's clearly what we have going on here. This is a certain kind of satisfaction. Thank you for your interest in our product or our sausage and other unknown substances. Yeah. Boy, I don't feel like this is my slide. I feel like this is Anil's slide. I grew up in Minneapolis. This is where Prince, of course, is from. And, you know, really, it is just over half Prince. The rest of it could maybe be, you know, a little bit of Husker Du, maybe, unfortunately, a gross amount of Soul Asylum. And right there, that, you know, that could be some replacements. But Prince sort of co-opts and usurps it all. I don't know what it has to do with the gestures. I don't think Amy Winehouse would disagree, but she probably doesn't remember that part anyway. And I'm personally glad. As for Britney, I can't get back to that, but she's not a part of that pie chart here. And so in conclusion, I realize I don't think I've done anything terribly .com-ish about this, except to tell you about gestural interfaces and bellies and sausage. And we are funded, and it's disgusting, and it's great, and I swore a lot. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Molly. And now to our judges.
I'd like to commend Molly on being the cutest of the participants we've seen so far, because she's a woman in technology. Yeah, it all is. It's because I didn't get a pen, and I'm taking it out on all of you. And sausages, yes. It's about sausages. And also, Molly had a lot of commitment, a lot of great gestures, which were in keeping with the theme of the talk. But I lost a little of the narrative flow there, and I didn't hear quite enough jargon, so Molly's getting a 6.5.
Oh, no. 6.5. That's rough. Okay.
Yeah.
Women are harder on women. It's true.
Ryan?
Women in technology are
I bet you didn't vote for Hillary, either.
Oh.
You want to make some of this? You want... I'll start judging you.
Apparently, the reason I'm here is to keep them... You silently.
Okay. Ryan, would you like to weigh in?
There were some flow problems, but huge amounts of cred for the Husker Du reference and for being brave enough to finally admit you are funded by sausage. 7.5.
Hey, we got a 7.5 there for Molly.
The jargon linked interfaces, I think, is my number one thing for South by Southwest so far. And working dir in gets 2 points for flow. Being from the same place as Prince gets 2 points, and swearing gets 0.2 points, so that's 7.2.
7.2, okay, that's a lot of math here. That's 14.76. 21.2. That's going to be rough to beat. Next up, just flown in from Petco. We've got Ted Reingold. Ted, where are you? Thanks for making it in, Ted. Ted is, yay! Thanks, Ted. Ted runs Hamsterer, Horsterer, Dogster, and Catster. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's really great to be presenting here today. I am so glad we got to start with this slide here, because what we're doing is Third Life hedge funds, and really... it is all about the green. You know what I'm saying? So what we see here is today's infrastructure, the landscape, Mike Arrington, the blogosphere, just blindly echo chamber calling out to themselves. And they are full of petty emotions, jealousy, ego, and then the great emotions, idealism, and bacon, which I want to get to later. what we're opening the door to here today, people, is a whole new I can't say it. The feline female equation has been behind curtains for far too long, and we're going to release that. So what you can see is, you know, one and four and five are just all played out. It's just dead territory. It's been overly exploited. It's been trotted. And what we're going to be doing is three kittens in three. We're going to 100%. I mean, look how much bigger three is than the rest of them. You know, we I'm so glad my designer was able to get this one in, because I was trying to come up with a way to describe Ebola scale virality, which is what's going to be happening here. The viral coefficient is going to be blowing through here with Our Lady. Amy, who hasn't she touched?
Oh.
Can we all take this one in for a moment? All we have to do is remove the C to see what's on all our faces. The desire to be three, the desire to be out of the into the third world of hedge funds. We're going to be touching everyone. The feline kitten. This is an opportunity for everyone. So what we see here is a market that expands to the population of half of the United States. Well, the world, actually. We'll be doing global and multiple linguistics. Actually, I think that is a male-female representation. I look a little closer. I forget we went with the androgynous to show. So it's global population.
It's a Project Runway. It must be one of yours.
Now, you see, while Christian and Jillian and Rami got a lot of attention, you know, Christian, he did a great job. But what Chris has shown us over here is that human hair, everyone has human hair, right? I need to point that out, are still going to get to 225. It's a wide open, it's like Pacific size, epic scale explosion we're about to witness right here, and female kittens are going to be right on top of it. A fierce right. Major. Now, I want to ask a question for the audience. Which of these is a conversation? You know, now hold your answer for a moment, because you're probably all thinking that Tom here actually has something to say. But it's a lowly sausage works that just gets squeezed through. Everyone thinks that they're overplayed and, you know, tried out. But we're going to be hitting home runs with those sausages right there. Yeah, and he's going to be like Excite or, you know, some other forgotten portal. It's true. We're the new Google.
What the fuck?
I'm sure this has all happened to you, you know? And what do you do? What is your solution here? And we want you to feel comfortable in your third life skin. With our hedge funds and she kittens. And that's actually a she kitten on the right, but what you don't know is they're both one kitten, and we can sell them at twice the price. Whoa, is it that fast already? I'm so glad everyone's been able to understand. And If there's one thing I can leave you with, is the epic scale of transformation that's going to be going on with she kittens in the hedge fund industry, and we're going to be cornering the hair market. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much, Ted. Okay, to our judges now, Erica, I think this is going to be...
fierce.
Tough.
Fierce. Very fierce. Excellent. Bringing it back around with the jargon right there at the end. I felt we lost the thread of the hedge fund there a little bit in the middle. Got a little thrown there by the sausage, which can happen to, you know.
The best of us.
The best of us. But I'm giving Ted a 7 because I have the sneaking suspicion he just recycled his investor presentation. It was too smooth. Too smooth.
Oh, it's getting tough out here. Okay, Ryan, please weigh in.
He did seem pretty comfortable up until the end. It did seem like he had done this before. For working in Ebola scale virality, uh, He makes up for the fact that he hesitated when confronted with the kitten Goatsy. So I'm going to go ahead and give it an
8.5. 8.5.
I thought this was great, but first I'm giving Mike 1 point for wood textures. So he's got that competing. You're in there. I just thought that Ted's presentation was great. The working in green technology for no reason, which is a real trend in web for some reason. I mean, we love it, but doesn't have anything to do with us. So I'm giving him a 9.5. I'm really gonna
9.5. 25 total right there. Oh my God. Okay. Who's up next? Mike Essel. Yeah, you've been enjoying them all, and now it's your turn. Let's make it fierce.
I'm going to talk today about the space between being ironic, which clearly Mike is, and sincere, which I am not. So my product today is a sincere talk about a Web 3.0 pickle podcast in which clearly the yellow participants are achieving a higher rate of pickleness than the other investors. I hate you, Mike. The problem is on the podcast we spoke sincerely about putting pickles in the ass of a turkey, and we needed a special kind of lube, which I think we talk about in the next slide. The taste of a pickle when inserted into a turkey wasn't quite right, so we added icing, right, which acts on the podcast almost like an Ajax app, inserting the sprinkles all over my nice big pickle. We found that with our pickle podcast, when you would Google it, there was a crossover with cosplay. Particularly our pickle mascot likes to talk about his pickle. So we are selling these all over the place, and part of it is role play. So we've crossed over with the furry podcast, and we've crossed over with some pet website podcasts, and I'm dying.
Okay.
Hey, who's leaning
there we
on
go.
Me?
There
Am I that
go.
Bad?
We don't have a gong up here. I'm
it
sorry.
Was beautiful. Oh, man, this is rough. Okay. Thank you. Okay. The pickles, they don't really go with sausage. But this guy, Henry, he can put that pickle so far into a turkey that when the potato finally comes out, it's the most delicious cupcake-filled pickled potato you've ever had on a podcast. So once you open the kimono of our podcast, you will see my pickle. And at that point, the embargo will be over. We mislabeled this, but Ted Turner has since purchased our podcast. You didn't know this, but Ted Turner is so into cosplay that it's like he didn't even need the pickle attachment. You know, he could just go right at it. And in conclusion, I hope you all subscribe to my podcast, and I hope that you all purchase the pickle uniforms because it really does make your time in the bedroom much better. Thank you.
Okay, so one thing I need to take into consideration in the scoring is that there might be a beat down coming for Mike. So.
Does that lose or gain points?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm hedging my bets here. So very nice to bring it all back around into a product pitch. We like that. But just the whole visceral turkey pickle thing squicked me out a little bit. So it's a 7.
That's a 7.
Yeah. There was a little bit of loss of narrative flow. It had some trouble breaking the fourth wall. There's definitely some points that go down for that. The use of innuendo, though, cleverly to kind of get back at the audience for being up there. I'll give it a 6.
We've got a 6.
I gave this presentation once, and I did such a terrible job that I know how hard it is to be up there. Pickle in the ass of a turkey. So I'm basically giving 2 points for genuine disgustingness.
2 points. Okay. We've got a total of 15.
I need to do my job here.
God, I told you it was going to get rough around here. Sarah, please come on up. Yeah, you're next, Sarah.
I'm here to tell you just how good the virus can treat you. This virus is so freaking good that it will overwhelm everything you're thinking. Apparently, the Chinese have attained the virus far more quickly than we have and are spreading it far faster than even California could. California remains behind, but we at our company, we're seeking to make California even more viral than China. As you can tell, we need to hit the sweet spot in California between vegans and communism to spread the virus as far as it could possibly reach. We have to use some very sketchy methods to increase viral input in California, and in fact, we've actually infiltrated the underground network that lays underneath Dig. Don't tell anybody. We don't want it to wreck their chances. However, we found that the Chinese have used the taser to spread the virus far quicker than we can. However, we have these unfortunate rules in California about human rights, so we're staying away from the tasering our users. Finally, we find that our greatest users at this point are still sadly animals. We're hoping that we might be able to convert them into mathematicians. We're leaving the unknown for other people. It's too small of a segment. We all know that the beef don't lie, and that Tom Cruise, we're not so sure. As you can see, by 3050, Zuckerberg will actually make sense. About the same time that he reaches Lenin. And we're going to leave whoever that is aside. And sadly, as it turns out, when Zuckerberg overlaps Lenin, we can't have nice things anymore. It's quite sad. Again, with the increasing overlap of Zuckerberg, Lenin, and the virus, liver is becoming far more attractive than friendship, particularly as Monday rolls around. In conclusion, we're spreading the virus fast, and you know you all want it.
Thank you so much, Sarah. And now to our judges. The competition's getting intense.
Yeah, I found that presentation incredibly believable. Like, I really believed Sarah would give us the virus to make herself richer at no cost to herself. Very nice, bringing in the dig underground. I realize that was a very challenging slide. There is a point deduction, though, for punting on pronouncing Quetzalcoatl, the Aztec god of war there. I think we all recognize that flub, so she gets a 9.5.
9.5.
I'm on board with it. Was a great presentation. You went a seven slides, keeping it all the narrative together. That was very impressive. I think that's a high mark so far. You lost a couple points on punting on taking advantage of an opportunity to make fun of Arrington, but otherwise, I give you an 8.
An 8.
Beef don't lie gets a major jargon point. I don't know if that's real jargon or not, but I totally believed it because this presentation was so believable. The flow just really flowed. I'm not sure what it was about, but I do know that I'll have some. So I'm going to call that a 6.
A 6.
I'm trying to keep it real.
When throwing eggs, please aim in this side.
Yeah, we can't all be.
You calling us off?
Okay, that's too many numbers.
Soft, absolutely. Yeah.
Next up, ladies and gentlemen, Rob Weichert.
Yes, folks, it's totally random.
If you'll excuse my underlings, we're a little behind this afternoon. Yeah, we're having some problems. I will not be speaking about AVW Tel Av today, unfortunately. I'm sorry to disappoint any of you that were expecting that. I will be getting on with the actual presentation shortly as this gentleman who works for me gets his ass in gear.
Nice one.
So you'll excuse his incompetence. Now, yes, indeed, Schadenfreude realized. So, my name is Rob Weichert, as you're all well aware, and this afternoon I'm here to speak to you about bootstrapping cross-platform compatibility. Now, a lot of you might not really be aware of what I'm talking about when I say bootstrapping cross-platform compatibility. And to be perfectly honest, I'm not entirely sure myself. So we're going to have a process of discovery this afternoon, and hopefully we're all going to really enjoy it. Now, when you talk about bootstrapping, one of the first things you really need to address is this idea of solving creative blockages, okay? Because we all have these times when we want to do something creative and we want to come up with that money-making idea, but it's just not coming, which is where this gentleman comes into play. If you call this man, and his number is 0-125-250-375-500, don't tell him I told you that. He's going to be able to show you that the number 42 is the way to go, as we learned from Douglas Adams and countless other philosophers. 4 is a thing of the past. 8 is not quite as much of a thing of a past. But 42 is where we want to be. That's the important thing to glean from this. Now, now, as we all know, cross-platform issues are a big thing in this sort of Web 2.0 climate that we all live in today. And the social aspect is a big part of it as well. We want to know who we're marking as friends, who we're not marking as friends, who we're going to allow to follow us on these various services, and who we're going to follow. And Amy Winehouse is really at the top of the list for all of us, I'm sure. The trick is, how do we get her to be involved in our social network? Well, for one thing... For one thing, we're going to want to find her on Facebook, okay? Because obviously it's a big deal now. As Daniel Plainview said, I drink Facebook's milkshake. I drink it up! Is what he said very loudly like that. And a lot of people have appropriated that particular phrase to their own ends. And we want to be careful about that because... Because in this current climate, there's the emotion that is just sort of that we're surrounded by is sort of overwhelming. And as such, it's almost managing to eclipse Prince, which I don't think any of us really expected to happen. On the other hand... On the other hand, cross-platform compatibility issues need to take into account both Beavers and James Lipton. So we want to be in this middle area here. I think a lot of companies are really focusing on Beavers. A lot of companies are focusing on James Lipton. But I think in order to succeed, you need to be the one that focuses on both. And to do that, you need to invest in the youth. Okay? And the youth are multicultural more than they have ever been. Okay? They understand animal husbandry. They understand, you know, Asian cultures. It's beyond our comprehension, you know, as adults coming from another generation, what these kids are able to do now.
Okay, time for a question from the audience.
So let's take a question here. Anyone? Shout it out. What is up with my beard? Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, I come from Pennsylvania. And people from New Jersey call that the state that evolution skipped. Now, I'm not entirely sure why that is, but we have a strong Amish contingent in Pennsylvania. And I felt like I needed to be at one with them, being from the same state, if not the same region of the state. But in order to differentiate myself from them, I decided to grow a mustache. So that's what's up with the beard. And it also supports several small ecosystems. Now, if we want to get back to the talking about bootstrapping, I think it's important to keep in mind that skin and pudding have more in common than you might expect. For one thing, both are edible. We all know that. And for another, they're both strongly supported by Bill Cosby. That's going to be an important thing to keep in mind as you consider your customer base. Now, in conclusion, it's true that, you know, we intended to talk about bootstrapping and cross-platform compatibility or something like that. And I think that we managed to touch on that today together. And I'm glad that we had this time together. And I think it's important that you all, if there's one thing that you take away from this, it's that I love you all. So, thank you.
Thanks. Thank you. Can you feel the pressure, everybody? Can you feel the pressure mounting? Erica?
Yeah, I found it very credible, particularly the cockiness at the beginning and talking about the process of discovery, which really sounded like the journey through bullshit that so many of these presentations often are.
The hero's journey through
bullshit. The heroes, yes, we went on the hero's journey. Very conversant, not only with jargon, but with pop culture references. So the flow is very nice. I give it an 8.5.
8.5.
Strong pop culture references, Cosby, Hitchhiker's Guide. A few points off for equating animal husbandry and Asian cultures. And for not being able to include the beard references into the overall flow, it's a 7.5.
Oh, 7.5.
For you'll excuse his incompetence, which I liked that term because it was both berating his assistant and berating us, or forcing us to excuse it. So I'm going to give that a 7, and then I'm giving two more for just about a public pressure to give higher scores. Good job.
What was that?
If there's
I think
one
we're
thing
at 25.
We've learned, Jonathan is very, very, very vulnerable to public opinion.
Highly suggestible, yeah.
We've got a tie as we're rounding into our final contestant here. Oh. Rob and Ted. But I think we might have a spoiler. Anil?
Before we get started, my name's Anil Dash. I'm going to step outside. When I come back in, you guys give me the welcome I deserve. Are you ready?
Yeah! Anil Dash!
Ladies and gentlemen, Anil Dash, welcome, welcome, welcome!
They said this day would never come.
It's time for us to be about something more than just the link that you get instant message from somebody you don't even really like. This is not language. Fail is not a response. There is no overlap. This chart is a fucking lie. Don't be misled by this kind of MasterCard logo bullshit. This is not true. We are in a time that is post-racial identity. We are in a time that is about bringing people together. And if there's one thing we can all agree on, it is that white people have despicable behaviors. It doesn't take a photo for you to know. Fucking mayonnaise. Right? This is the kind of thing that we need to look out for. Now, it's easy to get distracted by all of the minutiae, all of the things that get in our way of trying to achieve real, true change. And what are the components of that? It's not about all the little software updates, all the little interruptions that get in the way of us achieving things. The real issue here is that this is at a fucking oblique angle. That's where the data lives. That's what you need to know. And we talk a lot about empowerment, we talk about control, and what we really need is ownership. And ownership doesn't happen by us thinly slicing the world into little different sections, right? Ownership happens by all of us working together and create a cohesive whole. Yeah, that looks good. Get with the clicking? And all of us are feeling the crunch of the mortgage crisis, of not being able to keep our businesses afloat for entrepreneurs. Where is it going? Who's taking that bite? It's white people. I'm gonna keep that. And so what we see is that there are the kinds of impacts from this is good. What we find is that there are a lot of times when we think we have to choose between what we want to consume and what consumes us. And what we find is that we're actually past that point of thinking about desires. In fact, we're past the point of analysis entirely. We're able to just respond at a pure Pavlovian reflexive level about things that are shiny and new, regardless of whether we have any insights to add to them or not. And I know when I talk about this kind of change and this kind of potential, it all sounds like Greek to you. But sometimes you just have to roll with it. I'll wait. I'm still waiting. Thank you.
Neil Dash to the judges.
When we were setting this event up this year, we asked ourselves, can a Neil Dash bring it? And I think the answer is yes, he brought it. In fact, he brought it, he walked out with it, and then he walked back in with it.
Yeah,
yeah, very nice. The slicing deliciousness, I think that's when we all knew he'd sealed it. But just to preserve the world from his ego, I'm giving him a 9.75.
9.75. Ryan.
Absolute professional, totally unflappable, even in the face of a Rickroll. That's a 10 if there ever was one.
10, 10, 10.
Okay. Entrance alone, 5 points.
I mean, I know it's not on the things we're supposed to be judging for, but I would put that into gesture, jargon, and cred all at once. White people have despicable behaviors, I think, is another thing of deserving of a point or two. And actually, a real lesson for giving presentations here that he didn't read off the slides, which was very impressive. That's a real presentation skill, making this a legitimate panel.
So remember that when you rate it in your surveys.
I genuinely wondered during the pregnant silence who had taken that bite. It's like, where's this going? So I know that this is a 10-point contest, but I think this one goes up to 11.
11! Okay, we're going to tally these up and meet with our judges for a few moments here. Please take a break.
Music, somebody.
Hello.
Okay, first of all, before we announce our winner, let's give it up to Katie and Lane for all their hard work here. Ladies and gentlemen, Katie Spitz from Yule Design, Lane from Satisfaction, Mr. Mike Montero on slides. As much as this hurts and feels good all at the same time, the winner of this year's South by Southwest 2008 Battle Decks is Anil Dash.
Tomorrow morning at 10:30, there's a kickball game. I expect you all there.
Thank you, everyone.